is the person and work of the Holy Spirit. And the passage, the two passages we have read and also the songs we have sung, talk about the work of the Holy Spirit. In the New Testament, Jesus, in the Gospel of John, is introducing people to the person and work of the Holy Spirit. And he uses the symbol of water to explain that. In chapter 9, he actually uses the example of a blind man. Now, the man needs healing, and Jesus spits on the ground and mixes mud and plasters the mud on the man's face. Now, you'll be glad to know that that's not our method of healing this evening. But this was like a Sunday school lesson. Jesus Christ was telling us about the human condition. We are spiritually blind. We're all born blind. We don't know about the things of God. We're ignorant of who God is, what he's like. And most of all, we are ignorant of the person and work of the Holy Spirit. Many years ago, in the 19th century, there was a man who was an atheist. He was a surgeon, and he was examining a human cadaver, a human body. And he examined every part, and he said to a person standing by, he said, "There is no spirit," he said. "I have analyzed the human body. I can explain the function of every part of the human body, and I never found a spirit or a soul or anything like that." And beside him was a Christian, and the Christian pointed to a piano. And he said to him, "Take the piano apart, examine every single piece, and tell me when you find the music." Now, that's a very good example, because the piano has no meaning whatsoever unless there is music. But music is intangible. You cannot touch it. You can't keep it in a box. And the human spirit cannot be seen, but it is the reason we were made. And God's Holy Spirit is the power of God, making God real, but we don't know who God is and how he is. And so we need to receive the person and work of the Holy Spirit. Now, Jesus said to this man, he anointed his eyes with mud. And that's like the soul. The soul is covered with dirt, with sin. And if you have mud in your eyes, you are irritated. There's something irritating your life. Your eye is incredibly sensitive. And so is the human soul. Jesus anointed his eyes with mud and then said to the man, "Go and wash in the pool of Siloam." The man might have said, "Well, thank you, now I need to." But I think that something in the voice of Jesus made that man realize there was hope. Jesus said, "Go and wash in the pool of Siloam." Now, if you know Jerusalem, maybe some of you have been to Jerusalem. I take tours to Israel. And I know exactly where the pool of Siloam is. And Jesus said this standing in the temple. And the pool of Siloam is not near the temple. It's a long way away, maybe about half a mile, three quarters of a mile. And not only is it some distance, but it's down a steep slope, down many steps. The pool of Siloam is in the lowest place possible in Jerusalem. You cannot get lower than the pool of Siloam. And when Jesus said to this man, "Go and wash in the pool of Siloam," he was sending him to the cross, which is where we find the power of the Holy Spirit. the lowest place. There is a place when we humble ourselves, when we confess our need, when we confess our sins and the uncleanness of our soul. He said, go and wash in the pool of Siloam. And one of the chief works of the Holy Spirit is to make us clean. Every human being longs for purity. We long for the cleansing. We long for something that will take away the darkness from our heart, the power of sin, the habits maybe of a lifetime. We long for purity of heart. And Jesus says, if you go and pool and wash in the pool of Siloam, you will find cleansing. The Bible says the man went. He found, made his way down through the streets of Jerusalem, probably feeling his way, probably asking people to help him at each step. And when we ask God, as in the reading we heard, as we ask God, give me the Holy Spirit, that prayer is the beginning of a journey. It may be answered tonight in this service. Some people receive the Holy Spirit incredibly quickly and easily. Others are beginning a journey, and they will ask for help, and they will keep seeking. Jesus said in the parable we read, he said, ask and keep on asking, and it will be given you. Seek and keep on seeking. Knock and keep on knocking, and the door will be opened. There is a path to walk, and we may need much help on that journey before we reach the point where we know that we have received the power of the Holy Spirit. At last he came to the pool. There he had to go down some steps. I've seen the pool of Siloam. It's down some steep steps. He had to humble himself still further. Perhaps he even got down into the pool. It's not deep. You can stand in it. I stood in the pool and preached in it to people all around. And there in the pool of Siloam, he splashed water on his eyes. The Holy Spirit is the pure, refreshing water life of God. And when we receive the ministry of the Holy Spirit, he washes our inner life and we are made clean. As the man stood in the pool of Siloam and knelt and washed his eyes, he was made clean. But two miracles happened in the pool of Siloam. First, his eyes were made clean. And then a second miracle happened, because God gave him new eyes. And the Holy Spirit washes us and changes us and makes us clean in heart. But he also does something else. He creates a new heart within us. He creates something that was not there before. And there was no doubt a deep joy. When your eyes are opened, if you were blind, it's a mighty miracle. It's a tremendous miracle. And the man must have gone back shouting and saying, look, have you seen that? And he pointed probably to a palm tree. And people said, we've been seeing that all our lives. Who are you? There was once an occasion in London. We have a place called Speaker's Corner. And at Speaker's Corner in Hyde Park, London, you're allowed to say anything you like. And there was an atheist standing there. He said, there's no God. I've never seen him. There are no angels. I've never seen them. There's no heaven. I can't see it. And the crowd clapped him and laughed and cheered. And then a man raised his hand and said, please, may I speak? He went forward. He seemed to feel his way forward. And the man said, there are no trees. I've never seen them. There's no blue sky. I've never seen it. There's no people. I've never seen them. You see, I'm blind. And the truth is, When we say there's no God, it's only saying what is the state of our heart. When the Holy Spirit washes our heart, suddenly we become alive to God. We become so aware of His presence. His presence is so obvious. A Christian is not just arguing about the presence of God, the reality of God. A Christian is a witness of God. This man argued with other people, and they argued and said, oh, the man who healed you, Jesus Christ, we know he's a sinner, you can't trust him. And the man said, well, you can argue with me, he said, you can say all you want, but one thing I know, once I was blind, but now I see. And a Christian is a person with an experience of God. A person with an experience is not at the mercy of a man with an argument. And this man could say, I once was blind, but now I see. Now, there are different levels of receiving the Holy Spirit. When I came to Christ, I was aged 18 years. My parents were not Christians. I'd not heard much about God, but a friend of mine at school gave me some messages, tapes. You remember the tapes? Some of you remember what tapes are. They gave me tapes of Billy Graham, and I listened to these tapes, and my father was alcoholic, and examination time came, and I said to my dad, Dad, I'm nervous of the exams. And my dad said, don't worry, I've got the answer. Take a glass of whiskey. That was his answer. And that night, by my bed, I remembered all that I'd heard listening to the tapes of Billy Graham. And I knelt by my bed, and I said to Jesus, Jesus, forgive me. I will not trust in alcohol for peace. I will not go the way of my father. Please forgive me and come into my life. And at that moment, the Holy Spirit made God so real to me. My life changed. It wasn't only that I believed in God, I'd experienced God. I couldn't deny the reality of His presence. When we bow to Jesus and invite Him to enter our lives, prayer is asking Him to enter our lives. At that moment, something happens, and afterwards, we know there's a God because we've experienced Him. He's come to live within us. But it wasn't long before I realized I needed a deeper work of the Holy Spirit. There were habits in my life. There was uncleanness of heart. There were things I couldn't control. And I realized from talking to people, there was a deeper work of the Holy Spirit. There is a baptism with the Holy Spirit. And the word baptism means cleansing. And so I prayed for the Holy Spirit. I asked God, please wash me, change me deeper. And there is an even deeper work of the Holy Spirit. Some people experience them together. There's a gap of many weeks or months or even years. For me, it was years. And I bowed to the Lord and I said, Lord, I desperately need a deeper work of God. And one day, the power of the Holy Spirit came and cleansed my heart. It was such a powerful cleansing. Christ became so real to me. It opened my eyes to Jesus in a new way, and I worshiped Him in such a wonderful way. My life was transformed. And I say this because many of us have experienced the Holy Spirit. But I would say to myself and to you tonight, I recognize that I also need more of the Holy Spirit. When I think of receiving more of the Holy Spirit, I realize that means less of me. Less of me and more of God. Now, in Luke's Gospel, chapter 11, He said, ask and you will receive. Seek and you will find. knock and the door will be opened. And so he said these wonderful words, if you being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Now that's wonderful, because I do know how to give good gifts to my children. When Christmas comes, I love to see their happy faces. When they run down the stairs at Christmas time and I bring out the presents, I don't say to them, now bow down, tell me all the bad things you've done, be really, really sorry, then I'll give you the gift. No, no. I am delighted to give them the Holy Spirit. God enjoys, he loves to share this life, this inner life. But the key is, Jesus said, we must ask. We must say to the Lord, Lord, give me the Holy Spirit. It's a definite, real prayer. Jesus said, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? And we must ask God. Now, after the service, maybe you will say to a friend, I'm hungry or I'm thirsty, let's go to the coffee shop, I'd like a cup of coffee, and you will ask for a cup of coffee or a cup of tea. Well, that's pretty normal. How do you like your tea? I'd like my tea with milk. That's a superficial asking. It's a very superficial asking. I ask for a cup of tea often. I'm an Englishman. I drink tea. I ask for it almost every day. But this asking is much deeper. This is an asking that you only do really from the deepest part of your heart. I compare it to the day I asked my wife to marry me. I remember that day very clearly. I'd been walking her home at night, and every day I'd found a longer walk home. And I walked her home, and one night we'd walked and walked, and we sat on a bench. Afterwards, when I'd finished and asked her to marry me, we turned round and we realized we were in a graveyard. Be careful where you watch where you're going. Anyway, I asked her, but when I asked her, my heart was beating. I was waiting for the answer. It was a, if you like, an asking that would change my life. And it would change her life. It was an asking of commitment. It was an asking of surrender. It was the biggest request I could ever shape with my lips and my heart. I asked my wife to share her life with me, and that I would share my life with her. I'm so glad she said yes. But the point is, God says, ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened. The Holy Spirit opens up to us an amazing world of the supernatural. Suddenly we realize our eyes have been closed. There is so much joy, so much power, such a world of life and love in the Holy Spirit, of supernatural peace. If I had never prayed that prayer, my eyes would have been closed. I would have been ignorant of so much power and joy that God had prepared for me. Jesus said to this man who was blind, they asked him, how did he become blind? Was it his parents who sinned? Why is it that that man has so many complex things in his life? Why is it that we're so complicated? Why is it that all these things, how do we get these problems sorted out of our hearts? Jesus said, go to the pool of Siloam. When you go to the lowest place, when you humble yourself, when you talk heart to heart with God, confessing your need, in that place, God will meet you. God will give you the Holy Spirit. God will open to us a world of such joy and peace and the supernatural discovery of God. This is the beginning of an adventure, the greatest adventure. It's leaving behind a life of uncleanness and beginning a life of purity in which God is real. We're not made perfect. We have to come back again and again and rediscover that beautiful, fragrant power of the Holy Spirit. But God has promised. This is not the promise of a man. It is the promise of Jesus Christ. Ask and you will receive. Ask with this intensity of heart, this focus of heart. Ask and you will receive. Put your heart into the prayer. Put your life into the prayer. Ask for purity. Go and wash in the pool of Siloam. Ask for the gift of the Holy Spirit, and you will be amazed what God does. May I pray with you? Lord Jesus, thank you for these amazing promises of the Bible, and thank you that they are real. Thank you that you are God who answers prayer, and I pray, give to me the Holy Spirit. Give to us, each one, the Holy Spirit. Give us the Spirit to help us believe. Give us the Spirit to help us open our hearts completely to God. We do open our hearts. We do receive the help that God gives. And we receive washing and cleansing and the power of God deep into our beings. And we receive in Jesus' name. Amen.